The Holy Gospel, this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this stranger, this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Please be seated. Leprosy. No, I don't think that's going to work. Let's try this. AIDS. Zika virus. Maybe I'm beginning to get a little bit of that reaction inside now. Because you see, I don't think that we have the same reaction when we hear about leprosy as the early followers of Christ would have had. I don't think that leprosy scares us as much because there's a very good chance that none of us have ever met anybody who was suffering from leprosy. It's a disease that modern medicine has managed to keep in check for generations. But some of us might know someone who has had HIV or AIDS. And the news definitely used to talk about it all the time, though more recently the local medical scare is the Zika virus. But today I think it's important for us to grasp the anxiety that would be connected with associating with someone who had leprosy. There is a reason in our gospel that it is noted that the 10 lepers keep their distance from Jesus. It's because they were not even allowed to be near anybody who was clean. To be a leper meant to be an outcast. And being outcasts, for the safety of their community, their station was effectively lower than that of the beggar. And when you're lower than a beggar, when you are essentially as far removed from society as possible, it's difficult to be seen. In fact, it's believed that lepers were forced to announce their presence before they could go anywhere. They would give people who were clean an opportunity to stay out of their way as they moved about. So when a person would hear in certain directions, "unclean" or "leper," they would simply head in the opposite direction. It is for this reason that lepers would form their own communities. Nobody else will associate with them. They are lucky if anybody provides food for them. So it's quite possible for this group of 10 lepers, Jesus hears them before he sees them. Jesus hears them and then he doesn't run away. And then he hears their plea, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Our gospel tells us that this is when he sees them. He sees 10 people who are suffering. He doesn't see something to be afraid of. And when he sees, he commands them to show themselves to the priests. Now, the priests control the path to reentry in society. If a Jew was believed to have leprosy but later was determined to be clean, the priest was the first person that they would come into contact with. Only on a priest's word were they declared clean. But what happens when you don't have the same priest as everybody else? Our gospel tells us that there are 10 lepers, and it is revealed that one of them, when he is discovered he is healed, turns back and finds Jesus and thanks him. And he was a Samaritan. Now, our text isn't exactly clear on whether or not the lepers had made it to the priests quite yet, but we do know that this one leper stands apart. And it makes sense that if they had not yet met with the priest, if there was one who would not go to a priest, it would be this Samaritan. Because Samaritans did not submit to the same priest for religious authority. Instead, this Samaritan would have had his own priest in Samaria. But when he sees that he is clean, he recognizes that going to the priest of the Jews would not be appropriate for him. He would still be considered a foreigner, an outsider. So instead, he sees in Jesus what the others did not. He sees the priest in whom he should offer allegiance. Sometimes it takes looking at things from a different perspective to see the unexpected. The 9 lepers that were presumably Jewish were doing exactly what Jesus and their society told them to do. They would go to the priest to be declared clean. But for one, that societal expectation wasn't as clear-cut. He saw with the eyes of an outsider, and in so seeing, he realized that his being healed was dependent on Jesus, not the priests. In our first reading today, in the same way, it took different eyes to allow for Naaman to be made clean. It took first the eyes of the Hebrew slave to recognize that Naaman could not find the healing necessary in Aram. And when Naaman approached Elisha's home, Elisha sends out a messenger instead of himself, giving Naaman to wash 7 times in the River Jordan. Now Naaman, a powerful general, was very proud of where he came from and who he was. So the fact that he was so dishonored by Elisha to not even be seen in person was insulting enough. And then to be told to wash in the River Jordan? Are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? The eyes of the pride would proclaim. It takes those who would see differently to approach Naaman and convince him that being humble enough to wash in the Jordan was no insult. His servants, who know humility well, invite him to humble himself. And in so doing, God's power is revealed to Naaman's eyes. It makes me wonder, with what eyes do we see? People in different circumstances see the world differently. Now, I guarantee you, Cubs fans are seeing the world a lot differently today compared to Giants fans. I'm just saying. But many of us here are folks that I would consider in the majority. White, middle class, 2.5 children and a dog. And a part of being in the majority is we often see things in a certain way. I know that I do. We see people in our world and we often wonder, what did this person do wrong when something happens to them? Now maybe it's the person with the sign at the intersection. Maybe it's the person who is tasered or worse by police that we see on the nightly news. What did that person do wrong? When we see here at Messiah, do we see a church that is tired? Or do we see a church with vibrancy and life despite its lack of size? Do we simply see a community that we are already a part of? What would happen if we were to view the world with different eyes? What if we attempted to view the world through the eyes of the outsider, the minority, the first-time visitor? What do they see when they see a person in trouble in our world? Do they see what we see? Or do they see themselves? What do they see when they walk into Messiah? Do they see a community that welcomes them as they are? Or do they see a closed door? What can we learn about ourselves and about our world by listening to those who aren't just like us? I have a feeling that it's a lot. Because sometimes seeing the world through eyes that aren't the majority is what helps us see what is truly important. Seeing the world through Samaritan eyes helped a leper recognize that his healing and the source of being made well. So may we, who are all similar but different, be willing to look at the world through different eyes. May we see the stranger through the eyes of the stranger. May we see the church through the eyes of those who love it and those who don't know if they will be loved. For the humble, the proud, and the stranger are all connected in the great cloud of all believers that is revealed through the Holy Spirit. May we trust that Christ, who unites all of us, is indeed found in the eyes of the neighbor. For we all only see in part. But Christ, who still walks beside us on our journey, sees us, sees our church, and sees our world. And as we are all seen, we are all known, and all are given God's love. And it is in this love that we all might find true sight in Christ our Lord. Amen.